Turn your Bibles this morning to the book of Micah. Book of Micah, chapter 7. While you're finding that, let me say it's good always to see everyone that comes out to the house of God. I encourage you to come back and be with us tonight, if at all possible, and bring somebody. Micah, I realize that's one of the minor prophets, and not minor importance, but minor in size, more difficult to find than some. And so we give you a little bit of time with that. Micah, chapter number 7. Let's stand, please, while I read the Word of God. We'll look at verse number 18 and 19. Who is a God like unto thee, that pardoneth iniquity, passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy. He will turn again, he will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities, and thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. I say, praise God. I'm glad he said he put all of our sins in the depth of the sea. I love it when he said, who is a God? Verse 18, who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity? Aren't you glad he pardoneth iniquity? The last part of that verse says he delighteth in mercy. And he surely does. I want to try to preach you a message today that God's laid on my heart. No one like God. No one like God. No matter what you try to think about, there's no one like God. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus. Thank you for the privilege today that we have to read the Word of God. Thank you for the singing of the songs. And Lord, how blessed our hearts see young folk up there singing for your glory. I love them and I lift them to you. Pray you bless them and watch over them and keep them from sin. And I pray build that hedge around them. And Lord, we pray for them. Then we pray, God, today in this house. You know every person present. You know every boy, girl, man, woman that's here. And you know who's saved, who's not saved. You know exactly what we need. And so I pray today as we contemplate this subject, no one like God. Our Father, help us, God, that we may move in that realm of realizing how great thou art. And tonight, today, Lord, to think about your greatness and your mercy and your love, I praise and give you glory. In Jesus' name, now I ask for that divine touch to preach. We'll praise you for what you do with it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I remember Sunday night when we're getting ready to baptize, some ladies is over here singing, how great thou art. And surely how great thou art is an appropriate song, because how great he is. And no one like God. And aren't you glad he delights in mercy and grace? I want you to turn with me in Exodus chapter 15 and verse number 11. We'll just look at a couple of verses in way of introduction. Then I'll try to get right on in to what Micah is saying here and trying to share with you. In Exodus chapter 15, verse 11, who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? Now, this is when children of Israel just come through the Red Sea. God had just delivered them out of the bondage of Egypt, and they just came through the Red Sea, gone on the other side. And verse number 1 of this chapter says, they sang unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. And so they're praising God for his deliverance and praising God for his help. Now look in Psalm 71. Psalms chapter 71 and verse number 19. Verse number 19. Thy righteousness also, O God, is very high, who has done great things. O God, who is like unto thee? Who is like unto thee? Who is like unto God? Who are you going to liken him to? I was talking to someone after we come out of Sunday school class this morning, and we were talking about some things about Scripture and about what's not said as well as what is said, and what's out there in the universe and about the creation and so forth. And as we talked about that, we just concluded that there's so much that God didn't choose to tell us, and we couldn't take it in if he did tell us. We probably couldn't handle it. And God is so mighty. And when we talk about eternity, and it had no beginning, eternity can't have a beginning because it's eternity. It's eternal, has no beginning, has no end. And God is eternal God. He changes not yesterday, same yesterday, today, and forever. So everything we think of has a beginning and ending, has a time element. We live in time. We operate as time. But with God, there is no such thing as time. And so God transcends everything that we know. And we talk about the holiness of God. And the word holy itself means set apart, beyond, go beyond, is above everything that we know of. And God is omniscient, omnipresent, and he knows everything, has all power. He's all present. He's everything. And we just have to say how great he is. No one like God. No one like God. We have men today that promise us everything, but there's nobody like God. And men think that the Antichrist will someday come on the scene, and he'll seemingly have the answer, but he's not anywhere near like God. Won't even be close to being like God. No one like God. And here Micah is dealing with this subject. And I read to you in Exodus chapter 15, Psalm 71. And both of them, David talking about deliverance, and Moses talking about deliverance. But here in Micah, he's going beyond that. And he's sharing about four areas of God that is supreme. I mean, it's supreme. And I want to try to share those with you this morning if God will help me do that. I pray that he does help us, because we realize we can't do it without him. But if we just get a glimpse of him, if we can just get a glimpse of how great he really is, and nobody like him, the supreme being that he is, our God, hallelujah. I praise him and thank him. You come in the house of God this morning, and you come together, and we sit here together and hear the songs, and we worship God together and think about the living God. And I am so insignificant when it comes to sharing about God. I feel my weakness, my littleness, my insufficiency, but I'm glad, thank God, he, the Holy Ghost, is able to help us get a little glimpse about no one like God. And no one like God. He is supreme. I want to talk about, first of all, he's supreme in judgment. Look back in let's look back in the first part of chapter 7. First part of chapter 7. And judgment of Almighty God. Now, on Wednesday nights, I've started preaching a series on the judgments. And I'm not dealing with a particular judgment here, except that God is a God of God's a God of love. He's also the God of judgment. And here in Micah, and Micah's a contemporary with Isaiah. And here, talking about Israel going into bondage and going into captivity, and they do, 587 B.C., Jerusalem fell to Babylon under the leadership of Nebuchadnezzar, and they went into bondage. But he's talking way beyond the military part of it. He's going beyond that. He's talking about, and all of us were in bondage to sin one day, were we not? Every one of us. But I want to show you this in chapter 7, in verse number 2. The good man is perished out of the earth, and there is none upright among men. They're all lying wait for blood. They hunt every man his brother with a net, that they say that they may do evil with their both hands earnestly. The prince asketh, and the judge asketh for a reward, and the great man, he uttereth his mischievous desire, so they wrap it up. And he's talking about the wickedness. And now, as we think about judgment of God, he's saying to Israel, and we all know that direct interpretation here, he's dealing with Israel, but we can find some applications that we can make to our lives and today. Fact is, as I read these verses of scripture, it reminds me of America today. Brother Finney preached that message here out of Isaiah chapter 1 during Jubilee, and talked about America and where she is and what's happening in not just America, but other countries, and what a mess that really we're in as far as society breakdown is concerned, and it's breaking down on every hand. You see, preacher, what did God say here in Micah about that? Well, look at the moral situation. Verse number 2, the good man's perished out there if there's none upright among men. And just recently, even in sports figures, there come out that the ungodliness and that people looked up to and thought was a role model. Let me say, man's a failure. There's no one like God. He has never failed. Man will fail you, and man will come short, but God never has, and God never will. And you can find fault with me, you can find fault with you, everybody in this house, but you can't find any fault with God. And the moral breakdown has been great. I want you to turn with me in Romans chapter 1 and verse number 18. We begin reading there. When you say Romans 1, you immediately think about homosexuality, but let me say this, there's much more said here than just about homosexuality. It goes beyond that, but he's dealing with the morals and situation. Let me say today, God help us to realize the fact that God is a God of judgment, and he is supreme in judgment. We may see a little bit, we may pass judgment on this or that or the other, but he said that. He even mentioned the fact that judges are asking for money. We have a breakdown every way that we turn. I told you about one time when I was in Whiteville, North Carolina, and Billy McPherson, he's always taking me to see somebody, and he took me to see a judge. And the judge had been in prison, and because he got mixed up in a bunch of junk. And we got the witness to him and tell him about Jesus. And I said, hallelujah. But whether it be a judge or whether it be a ditch digger, it didn't make any difference. He needed the same Savior that everybody else needs. And he was under the same judgment everybody else is under. And so the breakdown is there. But look in Romans 1:18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. Go the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God have showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. I want to pause there just a minute to say, man's without excuse. God has made it possible for every man to know. Jesus tasted death for every man. Man's without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and the foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. It'd do our world well today, and all the modern technology and all the wisdom that seems to be, or knowledge, not wisdom, but knowledge that seems to be abounding everywhere. It would do well for man to remember how foolish in the sight of God it is, and that man is without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. And neither were thankful, became vain, he said, in their imaginations. Professing themselves became fools. Now we need to see what God's saying. And change the glory of the incorruptible God and the image made like the corruptible man, the birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Amen. For this cause God gave them up to vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use unto that which is against nature. And man can say what he wants to. And I was reading a religious magazine just yesterday, I believe it was, and talking about Mexico City is now trying to recognize or have recognized same-sex marriage. I say hogwash. There's no such thing as same-sex marriage. It's an impossibility. It can't be marriage as man and woman. And likewise also the men leaving the natural use of the women, burning in lust one toward another. And men with men working that which is unseemly, receiving themselves recompense of their error, which was meat. Even they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. God gave them over the reprobate mind do those things which are not convenient. Now, notice, it doesn't stop there. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. Now, folk, notice what he's saying, putting all this in the same category now. We sometimes think about the homosexual and talk about how bad that is. Look what else he's putting in there. Disobedient to parents. Look what else, envy, malicious behavior, fornication. He's putting all that, it's all sin inside of God. Amen. Without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. And so today, God help us realize, hey, no one like God in judgment. In the moral situation, he's going to judge. But in the national leadership, in verse number 3, that they may do evil with both hands earnestly, the prince asketh and the judge asketh for a reward. And great men. He goes on talking about these leadership. And we don't have to comment a whole lot about that except to say man's in a mess. But look back in chapter 3, verse number 11 of Micah. Chapter 3, verse 11. The heads thereof judge for reward, and the priests thereof teach for hire, and the prophets thereof divine for money. Yet will they lean upon the Lord and say, is not the Lord among us? None evil can come upon us. And what he's saying is even the preachers, even those that claim to know God, even those that claim to do something for God, they're wrapped up in money. Amen. And I thought about this thing a whole lot. And you couldn't pay me enough to pastor. Couldn't pay me enough to preach, in fact. Amen. That's God's choosing. I do that because God put something in my heart. God did something in my heart, my life. And thank God. I appreciate the church taking care of me. I appreciate every way God's taking care of me. But I tell you right now, they couldn't pay me enough for that. I said when I first came to Gateway, I can't be bought and I can't be sold. Amen. And when you're not for sale, you can do pretty good. And because you're God's and belong to him. I'm saying to you today, friend, that God's a God of judgment. And the moral situation, leadership, we need to be what God wants us to be and trust God. But look at the family in chapter number 7 and verse 5 and 6. Trust ye not in a friend. Put ye not your confidence in a guide. Keep the doors of thy mouth from her that lieth in thy bosom. For the son dishonoreth the father. The daughter riseth up against her mother. The daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies are men of his own house. He's saying this. He's saying families break down. And we're living in a generation that had a family breakdown. And our society's messed up. And we don't understand how important. Somebody back there was mentioned to me, Brother Arthur and Miss Connie, talking about they've been married 50 years just recently. And what a milestone that is. I thank God for that. That's an unusual thing today to stay married, but it's good to see it happen. Amen. And marriage is sacred, and I do trust the young people. I have nothing but compassion for folk who've been caught up in divorce and that kind of thing. My heart goes out to you, and I'm for you. I'm not against you. I'm for you, but I tell young folk, I want them to find God's will in their life, marry in God's will, live for God, and take it. Amen. Brother James Lamb last night was talking about cars. And after we prayed, we were talking about he's trying to find a vehicle. He's not a little fella, by the way. He's a pretty good-sized man. And he's trying to find one big enough to get in and still get good gas mileage. He's got a problem. But he talked about when you buy a vehicle, you better buy one that you just run the wheels off of it. That's the only way you're going to get your money out of it. And said every time you trade, it costs you. I said, somebody's talking about him being too picky. And about that and about wife, too. He's not married, by the way. And said, too picky. I said, yeah, every time you trade wives, it'll cost you, too. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. And so it costs something, amen. It costs something. It's better off to do it right. Amen. Stay with God. Do what God said. Let God help you. Amen. I got to get off of that because we'll be here all day. I said there's no one like God. Amen. He's a God of judgment. Ain't nobody like God in judgment. I may look at your life and say, well, that's fine. You're doing good, but God knows exactly where you are, and God knows how to get your attention. Nobody like God. And when God sends judgment, he sends judgment. And what's happening today in our country, around our world, is just God's beginning to let judgment come. I say to you, God, help us realize the fact that God is the God of judgment. Nobody like God in judgment. Man may take something to trial, and they may try somebody, and they may miss him. And they've been people going to prison and found out later they were innocent and not guilty. But God has never missed not one judgment he's ever made. He's always right. There's no one like God in judgment. Let me say this. There's no one like God in deliverance. I'm glad, praise God, nobody can deliver like God can deliver. I heard Brother Taylor up here this morning when he got up to pray. He's talking about being in the beer joints. He's talking about in dark places with dark bottles, drinking dark stuff. And he's talking about how God brought him out of that and got him in the light. I say hallelujah. I'm glad God delivered him from that. God is a God of deliverance. Amen. Now, people have programs, and man comes up and they go different places trying to get some help. And I hit myself like this because I thought about what somebody, a force figure, went to and getting sex therapy. And I thought, my soul, how do you do that? I thought, the Bible says, I think that's all we need. I think the Bible is sufficient on that subject. And they're talking about being addicted to it. Hey, sin's addictive. I don't care what kind it is. Amen. If it's foolish thinking, it's addictive. Sin's just addictive. You say, preacher, y'all not preach like that. That's what the devil told me. But I'm telling you that sin's addictive, and sin will get you in trouble, and you can try to get deliverance everywhere you want to get delivered, but there's nobody like God when it comes to delivering you, amen. Best thing he can find is God real in his heart, gave life to Jesus, let Jesus deliver him and set him free. He'll do the job, amen. You say, what about a saved person gets messed up? Same God that saved him is the same God that can deliver, amen. And he can do it, and I praise him and thank him for it. David, when he got messed up, he didn't have to run to man trying to find some help. He ran to God and said, restore to me the joy of thy salvation. Let me say to you today, what we need to do is run to God and say, God, help me. I need some help. I need some help. And God is the one that can help us and deliver us. Hallelujah. Now, if you will, please, turn somewhere. Let me see where I'm going to turn to. Amen. Why don't you turn back to verse 8 of chapter 7. Verse 8. Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. I will bear the indignation of the Lord because I have sinned against him until he plead my cause, execute judgment for me. He will bring me forth to the light, and I shall behold his righteousness. And she that is mine enemy shall see it, and shame shall cover her with saying to me, where is the Lord thy God? Where is the Lord thy God? I'm glad, praise God, I know where he is. He lives in my heart. Amen. I know where he is. He's at the throne of grace. I know where he is. Mine eyes shall behold her. Now she shall be trodden down as a mire of the streets. He's saying, God will deliver me. God will help me. Look at verse 15. According to the days of thy coming out of the land of Egypt, will I show unto him marvelous things. I read to you a while ago, Exodus 15, when it came out through the Red Sea, they sang the song of deliverance. I want to tell you, God can deliver you. You say, preacher, I have this in my life that I cannot handle. I'm in bondage to this sin, whatever it may be. It makes no difference what it is, but preacher, I cannot help. I can't get rid of it. I get set. I'm glad to report to you, there's no one like God. He can deliver you, amen. He can set you free, just as sure as I'm standing here. As God brought Israel out of Egypt, he can bring you out of whatever it is that you're in, and God can deliver. I'm glad for the deliverance that's come, amen. I'm glad deliverance is possible and present. Now, let me say this thirdly. I'm trying to hurry. I got four things I wanted to say this morning. I've said two already. Hey, nobody like him in judgment. Nobody like God. Now, God's going to have a final word, by the way. When it's all said and done, you say, preacher, I don't believe what you believe. I don't see how you see it. It doesn't make any difference about that. But it is whether or not we line up with the Word of God. When it's all said and done, we're going to stand before the Lord of Lords and King of Kings, and he will have the final word. And then nobody delivers like God. He delivers. I look back and saw Brother Bob McElroy. I'm glad God delivers out of the motorcycle gang. I'm glad God delivers out of the Hell's Angels. I'm glad God delivers out of whatever. God delivers, amen. I'm glad for the deliverance of God, the living God. Hallelujah. He delivers now. Number three, there's nobody has a pastoral care like he does. Now, I try to love folk, have compassion for people. It breaks my heart sometimes. But there ain't no pastoral care like he is. I'll fail you somewhere along the way. I'll come short somewhere down the road. But I want you to know one thing. God will never fail you. Nobody has a pastoral care like he does. Look in verse 14 of Micah chapter 7. Feed thy people with thy rod, the flock of thine heritage, which dwells solitarily in the wood, in the midst of Carmel. Let them feed in Bashan and Gilead as in days of old. I want you to turn with me quickly, and we'll not take time to spend a lot of time, but turn quickly with me to Psalm 23. Psalm 23, that great shepherd psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. Notice what he said. I shall not want. He satisfies. A shepherd takes care of his sheep, and he sees that they are satisfied. And he said, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures and lead me beside still waters. He lets him rest. Now, the other day I was preaching, and I said there's two things about sheep have to have before they rest. They must be free from fear, and they must not be hungry. But I got two more I want to add to it today. Hey, those two's true. If they're hungry, they'll not lay down and rest good. If they're afraid, they won't lay down because they're afraid to lay down. But there's two other things I want to share with you about sheep. It's true. If they're friction in the flock, they won't rest. How you like that? If there's friction in the flock, if there's two of them over here butting heads, the other sheep kind of looking on, and they're wondering what they're butting heads about. And won't be long before some other sheep will get kind of over there in the midst of them, and they'll get butted. And first thing you know, some other sheep will get into it, and they'll butt another sheep. And after a while, sheep's butting sheep, and there's friction within the flock. They don't feel at ease. They don't know where the next butt's coming from. They don't know exactly who's going to hit them next, nor what's going to happen. I say to you, us, the friction, they won't rest. Hey, something else about this. And that is if they're agitated. Agitation, I'm talking about fleas and ticks and flies. If it's real bad on them, they can't rest good. And so they can't be agitated and need to get rid of that. Whatever's agitating, need to get rid of it and get it out, give it a good dose of Holy Ghost spray or Holy Ghost dip and a blood flow, whatever it is, and let God take care of it. Hard to worship when you're agitated. Amen. Agitation means stirred up about something. Well, anyway, let's look back in Psalm 23. I told you I'm trying to hurry. I am. And said, he's restored for my soul. He leaves me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Sheep have to be led. And he's a great shepherd. He's a great pastor. Yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I fear no evil. He keeps them from fear. Fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The shepherds are with us, comforts. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies.
always taken care of, always feeding. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. In that land it was dry, they needed oil on their skin. They needed something to drink, and said, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy follow me all the days of my life. I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He's saying, I got a home for you. The pastoral care is, I'm leading you now. I'm giving you rest now. I'm taking care of you now. I'm letting you have something to drink now. I'm giving you food now. You can rest now. And someday I'm going to take you. You don't have to fear the valley of shadow of death. Someday I'm going to take you to glory. Hey, nobody like God. They nobody like God. Hey, they can tell you about retirement plans, and boy, people have been worried about that in these days and everything that's happened, and somebody's coming on the scene now, and they'll promise you this, and they'll promise you that. And I heard something yesterday, and I couldn't believe what I was hearing. I heard yesterday that now this one man's come up with an idea for people that's saved, and they're going to go into rapture. What are they going to do with their pets? He's trying to find atheists and those people that's ungodly enough not to go into rapture, but good enough to take care of pets. And people are, here's an astonishing thing. People are paying them to have somebody lined up, sign a contract that they'll take care of their pets in case a rapture comes and they left Fido behind. I'd like to find who sold them that contract. I'd sell them the Brooklyn Bridge. Amen. Can you imagine that? You say, well, preacher, I love my dog. You may love your dog, but your dog's not human. And your dog, I wouldn't worry about my dog. I'd worry about that, getting that atheist saved. I'd worry about telling that people, somebody about Jesus, amen, about coming to know God. When the rapture comes, you won't be worried about Fido. You won't be worried about some kitty cat. You won't be worried about something else, amen. You'll be thinking about Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And if you're not saved, you're in for an awful time. Because when the rapture takes place, it's going to be an awful time. God's nobody like God, amen. I am really hurt, but thank God for pastoral care. I'm glad he cares for us. I'm not worried. I'm glad somebody may love their animal and take care of them. That's good and well. That has its place. But let me say to you, God takes good care of me. God sees that I'm fed. He sees that I'm watered. He sees that I'm taken care of. And when the rapture comes, he's still going to take care of me. And they know nobody like God. Nobody. Then nobody like God in forgiveness. Look in verse 18 again, the text. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity, passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever because he delighteth in mercy. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities, and now will cast all their sin in the depths of the sea. I want to say to you today, nobody forgives like God forgives. Nobody. There's nobody like God. Sometimes we forgive people, and we do our best to forget it. But every once in a while, the devil sees that it's brought up and bring it up. But nobody, God chose not to remember them anymore. He chose to put them in the sea of his forgiveness, never to bring them up again. I want to say to you today, there's nobody like God. There's nobody like God. No one's like God. Nobody cares like he is. Nobody's supreme as God is. In judgment, nobody's like God. In deliverance, he can deliver when nobody else can. Hallelujah. There's people here today that's been in bondage, got delivered. Thank God. Then nobody cares like Jesus cares. Bible says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. You think about it, nobody like God cares for you. Your mom and dad may love you. Your grandparents may love you. Your brother and sister may love you. But nobody loves you like Jesus does. Nobody. Pastoral care. What love. What compassion. Then forgiveness. He takes our sins and puts them in the sea of forgetfulness and buries them. He delights to have mercy. How are you today? Are you saved? Is your life to been delivered? If not, Jesus can. Nobody like God. Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus. Thank you for the privilege we have to open the Word of God. See how great thou art. How great you really are. We haven't even touched the hem. But Father, all judgment will be correct. Your deliverance is sure. Your care for us is wonderful. Thank you for that sweet forgiveness, that mercy. Now, Lord, I pray today in this house that every person that's not saved, the Holy Spirit will make these things real to them. Then every person that is saved and there's a situation in their life and they need help, I pray they'd come today. Father, have your way. Speak to hearts. Do what's needful. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.